Fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
Amen. Amen. Okay, can we quickly have Brother Ray and Sister Bola, you know, to come forward for the review. Amen. Amen. You know, so many persons are just praying that I should not call them. But there's no way you can escape it. Hallelujah. All right, thank you for being seated. I believe we've gone through the messages or the message, and I'll just want to direct our thoughts. You know, of course, I'll give you opportunity to also see what blessed you in the message. But for the sake of the whole house, you know, I want to direct our thoughts, you know, so that we can talk within that boundary, you know, and bless the whole house. And one of the things we believe that will come out from this review, you know, is that some of the things that Daddy said will be further broken down. You can use your language. You can use your you can use your words, not necessarily using, you know, verbatim what Daddy said, but you can use your, the way you understand it and then how it applies to our daily living. Is that okay? All right. So I remember Daddy starting, you know, with the issue of brightness. You know, Daddy started talking about the issue of brightness, that a minister, you know, must have brightness. And then move on to talk about wisdom, you know, making reference to Daniel, you know, and then went on to talk about, you know, corruptible wisdom and corruptible seed. So I just want you, in your own words, who is starting for us? Who want to start for us? Okay, Stabola. All right. I want you to use your own words to, you know, just explain what you understand by, you know, that line of thoughts, you know, from the issue of brightness to wisdom to, you know, Daniel, David, you know, King of Tyre, and how he also relates to Satan, and then, you know, the Garden of Eden. So the floor is open for you, Stabola. Can we put hands together for her?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Daddy, Mommy, in absentia. Good evening, pastors, associate pastors. Good evening, KCC leader. Thank you so much for all you do, Pastor GP. Thank you for, you know, further helping us to break down the word and make it come much more visible and tangible. You bring it down to levels which we can even further relate with. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, Pastor Nisima and Mama Shayo. Thank you for your care, your love. Thank you for everyone in Ring Road KCC. Thank you for being wonderful and awesome. I will be reviewing Baba's Blessing Day 2 evening service. I would first of all like to start a bit from Pastor Tope's message. It just gave us a short exhortation based on what Reverend said the previous day. He tried to make us come to understand what made it more clearer to us, flesh. You know, Reverend was speaking about how the flesh, there's works of flesh that is made manifest and there's work of flesh that is not made manifest. So I don't know if you can see Galatians 5:19 to 21. Okay, now the works of flesh are made manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, and of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Pastor Kai was making us to see how that there's a level to which the milk of the word can purify us from these works of flesh that are made manifest. But it takes the doctrine of Christ to fully bring us to a state whereby man is cleansed fully of flesh. So we've been taught out that a man of Christ is a man of flesh. So flesh in the other dimension right now, not flesh according to the pattern of corruption, but flesh according to the pattern of incorruption. This is the earth, the ground, the seed on which God, they say these are those that can inherit the kingdom of God. So I would like to liken this to 1 Peter 2. If you can start from 1 Peter 1, verse 19 to 25, then 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Okay, so, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Verse 22, please. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto a faint love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a fervent with a pure heart fervently. Sorry. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Then 1 Peter 2. So we can see how that a man who has gone through the process of 1 Peter 1, verse 19 to 25, is a man who cannot have the stature for to lay aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. Verse 2, please. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may go thereby. So these are babes in the dimension of God. These are full men, men who have come to the peak of Christ. These are the men that can come and they cannot begin to be taught the word of God. This is the flesh that has come to a state that cannot begin to seek God. So this leads us into Reverend's message, where he began speaking about how that he began by saying it takes corruption appears in stages. You know, he spoke from Joel 2:25. When he was speaking about the canker worms, the caterpillar. Yes, thank you very much. So I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and my great army which I send among you. So he was trying to explain to us how that, this is the degradation of corruption. A full level of corruption can be seen as being the expression that is visible to all, that is locus. And it starts from the palmer worm, the caterpillar, the canker worm. So he also was saying that how that man would also come into through this stage. You know, he was saying how that it is at the fourth level that a thing is sealed. He was speaking about the house, other it is at the fourth stage that you get to the strength of a thing is established. So if we can get to the stage whereby we get to the peak of the fourth, was speaking about the house, how that he knows that if we keep journeying and we can get into the fourth generation, you can see that these things will be established. It will become a way and a pattern in us. I pray the Lord just help us all in Jesus' name. Okay, so he started speaking about how that he spoke about a minister, how that a minister is an accurate revealer of a king, a priest. Let's see Proverbs 25, verse 2, please. Thank you very much. So he said, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out the matter. So he was trying to explain to us and make us see that God in His glory would always try to conceal the matter. I just see it as per a king. You want to know those who are noble and respectable. You know, when we were young, we had so many folk tales, many kingdoms and all. And you see how that they diversify so many wisdom in order to bring things and, you know, try to search out and prove who is true. So you can imagine this particular scenario where this thing is very dear to the king, but he sends his messengers to go and hide it. And he seeks for the brave men in the kingdom to go and look for this thing and present to him. And then there will be a reward given to whoever can search this thing out. But we thank God that it is more than, we can relate with this to God, but it's more than what we can see in the physical. We know this is our estate where we are heading on to. So the Lord has, of himself, he has so many things he has considered himself in. And he wants man to come to a state whereby we can, you know, begin to think. Before you can begin to search out the matter, you can see, you first of all have to sit back. I know it says in the Bible that whoever wants to go on a project has to sit back first and count the cost. So you have to sit back, and for some people, it might mean you forfeiting the type of life that you have to live here in the natural. You know, denials. How well do you relate with that denial? We determine how far you can go in searching out that matter. So if I feel that, oh my, this thing is very dear to me, I don't think there's a level, there's an extent to which I can part with it. Or as I'm journeying, I still keep remembering that, oh, this thing that is very dear to me, it will hinder the number one, it will hinder the speed at which you will go. You would always, at some point, get to a point where you have to pause, take a while. You know, you have to think and you consider, is this thing still worth it? You wait, you scale it, you scale it. That is still self. That is still flesh. That is considering. You are not yet seeing it as a hope that it is what your life is being engaged on. So, until when we come to a state whereby we can see that this very thing that we're to seek for, this very thing, the purpose for which God created man in the first instance, was to seek him and not the things which consist here in this present world. You know, the Lord will have to help us, you know, come into a state whereby we can see and overlook and overthrow. How do I mean by overthrow? We are saying that no matter the consequences, no matter the sufferings in quotes, because what we might consider as sufferings to God is just like just a little trial, just to test and see if you actually really, really desire to want to have this thing, which is him. Because, you know, anybody that has God has everything. And you cannot have God and use it to serve your own personal purposes and agenda. You have to serve his purpose, his agenda. That is the essence for which he created men for. So Reverend was speaking about how that it takes a man of secret place. You know, I was seeing how that in Ezekiel 28 from verse 2 to 5, how that, yes, it was speaking about the son of man, say unto the priest of Tyros, thus hear the Lord God, behold, thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of seas, yet thou art man and not God. Though thou say that art as art of God, verse 3, please. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Verse 4, please. With thy wisdom, with thy understanding, with thou hast gotten the riches and hast gotten gold and silver in their treasures. So we can see that it is from this secret, yeah, that we're able to trade. When you can have secrets, then you gain insight into having wisdom. That's verse 4. From wisdom, it comes into an understanding. And this understanding is how we transact to get riches, which is also applicable here in the natural. You know, the Lord has made it that we can see patterns, though we can say to an extent that these patterns were, you know, how would I put it now, configured or twisted in a form from different from the original intent and purposes. So the secrets were given for us to get wisdom and understanding and riches in God. You know how that Pastor was speaking of how we can get gold. You know, these riches are what we convert to get gold and silver. That's to store as treasures. You know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So we are supposed to search out secret things to come into wisdom and then move into understanding. Then we might have riches. You know, we will be rich in the abundance, not only in knowledge, but also in understanding of who God is and what He wants. That is when you can sit back and think. And you know, at the beginning stage, you would just say maybe WWJD, what would Jesus do at a certain point? But the essence of that is to form a thought pattern. You know, change your course, your orientation of your thought. How do you think? How would I do this? Would He be pleased if I do this? Would He be pleased? Why, if He was in this particular situation, how would He react? Am I supposed to? And that is where we have the leading of the Holy Spirit coming in to help take charge of that process. How that we can, you know, fine-tune and modify circumstances and situations around us to see God in everything and in every little thing. So, everything in life is guided by secrets. We can see how that, even in the natural, you know, we see people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and all that. They didn't really start out because of they wanted to have money, in quotes. All they just had was secret wisdom, which led to an understanding that they are trading with to get riches, gold, in our natural terms, money. So everything in life, whether physical life, in spiritual life, any life, any phase of life you want to categorize life to be, is all guided at by secrets. So we can see how that, you know, Reverend was saying that Satan got jealous of this when he saw this in Daniel. That was why, because, you know, he saw how that Nebuchadnezzar was the king, yes. But he wasn't actually the king in that particular state. Daniel was actually the king. And, you know, he showed something yet out that, you know, you don't have to be the one sitting down and saying, oh, yes, I'm the boss, I'm ruling and everything. But you can be a king and you are the gatesman. Yeah. And how they will truly, you know, it is not by the lenses of which man sees. It's not by the lenses by which we judge that we know who a true king is. The king might just be somebody who is just opening the door and telling you, welcome. But in the era, in the sight of God, Lord has seen that this person has things that he loves, and he has drawn him a little bit closer towards him. So, you know, Satan got jealous of this, and he now raised up this Tyrus, son of man, and he was not saying he was relating to self as God, though he was a man. You know, what an effrontery. This is still a mere man. And it was, you know, Reverend made us to see that actually Satan has come to raise up so many people who have raced in this life towards a direction that is anti-God, some of which have gotten to some level of estate, so to say, and they are kings or princes in this certain estates. But in this same order, the Lord has also raised men, and he's still raising men, to come into estates that, you know, will begin to point, you know, a king points towards a kingdom. You can never find a king without a kingdom. That is, I don't know what that is called. So, you know, when you say someone is a king, there's definitely a kingdom which is having domain or reign over. I like the word reign. So there's a reign. So, you know, the Lord wants us to come to a state whereby we have certain reign. We have reign over, we have overcome territories in the spirit. We have overcome natures in particular. You know, you look back and you say, that's why we can say change has taken place. You look back and you say, oh, this time. If it was me before, I would not have reacted in this manner. The reason you can say that is because you've actually come to a measure of reign, a measure of dominion. You've come to understand some secrets. You've come to trade with some wisdom. And you've come to an understanding that it's not even worth me raising a voice over this matter. It's just worth me just even overlooking it. And instead, will not even come where you don't even see those things at all. Because it's not even existing in your realm of thought. It's not existing in your domain. It's nothing you can use. If somebody even come and say, can't you see what happened? You'd be like, okay, I actually see it. But don't worry, it's fine. I just move on from there. So that's the estate which the Lord wants to bring us into. So he was now speaking about how that we further went on to speak about the corruption. You know, he spoke about how that Adam and Eve, he gave us a typical, he went into details to make us see much further what's happened in the Garden of Eden. How that, you know, we've heard several times that Eve was deceived and Adam wasn't deceived, and you know, it brought us to understand what actually came to take place. That, you know, Adam was the only one that had come of age. And he was speaking about the age of accountability. So there are certain things that if it happens, for example, if certain things happen, I'm just like, okay, fine. Because he hasn't come to the age of accountability that. But there are things that I know that Aeolite knows, and I'll say, Aeolite, you know this thing. And you know you're not to do this thing. So you get the recompense. Judgment for such actions. Okay. So I can liken that to how that Adam, because of the reason where man is in the state where man has come into, is that Adam was the one that came into the age of accountability. And the Reverend was speaking out that if Abel and Cain had grown up and they just, if they had not gotten to the age of accountability and they came to the tree and they plucked off the tree and they ate the tree, nothing would have happened. Corruption would not have gotten into the world. It would not have the, you know, spread and spawned to become what it is today. But how that, because of the sense, you know, it was speaking about how that Adam thought he was wise in his own way. You know, he's like, okay, I like this thing. I want to know what is inside this thing. Just give me, and I'll wait and see if it's good. Then I will now take it. But if it's no good, don't worry. I'll just, you know, there's a way we can be very transactive in, you know, certain things, you know, instructions will come, and you'll be like, okay, if I do this thing and I do this thing, what's benefit? Because we're always looking at, you know, benefits that will accrue to us, that will accrue to us, rather, that will come to us. If I take this thing, to what essence, what benefit it is? But if you consider it and wait that, I've already put my leg inside, though, but it's becoming too big, I don't think I can continue. It's actually that point that you're supposed to continue. Because that was what happened in the sense to Adam. He heard, he transgressed, because he knew, he wanted to look into the content of what was inside the seed, what the tree could offer, and how he could, you know, transact with it, and, you know, come to a measure. He said he shall eat of this tree and be like God. He wanted to be like God. There's no, even Satan wanted to be like, he did not say he wanted to be above God. He just wanted to be like God. But he didn't want to follow due process. So there's, if you don't follow due process, you actually come out being something else. I remember at some point, you know, Reverend was saying that we have to come out at the end having one head. If you come out having, you at the end of the process and you are deformed, you are misshaped, you'll be a monster. You'll be a monster, like an hydra, you know, maybe seven-headed dragon or something like that. So... So that is, Satan just, you know, at the age of accountability, he was speaking about how that we should thank God that we are in the era and that we can choose. You know, some people have come into life where they didn't have opportunity to be able to listen and hear these words that have been spoken unto us. And, you know, in the world to come, how that they will be taught of these things. So, but we should thank God that in this era, we are being given an hedge in quotes. to race ahead and, you know, get the incorruptible seed, come into the very nature of God. And I think this is very blessed that we are in this era. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. That was quite detailed, and it was broken down. Is there anybody who still do not understand that line of thought that Reverend brought forth? You know, can we put our hands again for Sister Bola? You know, thank you so much. So there's an attitude the Lord is demanding, you understand, from us. One, to be an inquirer, to be a searcher. You know, that's the honor of a king, you know, in searching things out. You know, so it shows honor before God when you desire to know the secrets of God. You know, so it also shows dishonor when you are running, when secrets are being given forth and you are running. It just shows you don't have honor. You are not interested. You know, it's a profane attitude. And the Lord does not want anyone in this house to have such, you know, attitude. So let's be holy inquirers. You understand? Another thing I just want to buttress, and then I'll move to our next reviewer, is the fact that, you know, you need age to be able to reject or accept certain things. Adam had age, you know, like she said, age of accountability. That's why, you know, through that obedience, he opened the door to corruption. You understand? If he had the authority to reject it, you understand? He had the authority to reject Satan from the garden, because that was the responsibility that was given to him to tend the garden. And that garden is our heart. Hallelujah. So we have responsibilities over us to guard your heart. Say, guard your heart with all what? Diligence. For out of it, what? So you are not going to hold anybody responsible for the things that are in your heart, because the Lord gave you that heart as a garden for you to dress it and to watch over it. You know, and that's where Adam failed. And the truth is that many of us are failing in that regard. We allow Satan to bring thoughts that are not us. You understand? And we just accept those thoughts. And before you know it, we begin to live according, you know, to that thought. All right. I want to, Brother Ari, I want you to push us further in this line of thought. You know, when Adam obeyed, you know, disobeyed the Lord by obeying, you know, the wisdom of Satan, you know, he opened, you know, humanity, you know, to corruption. And one of the things that we see in that wisdom of corruption was that he went to sow fig leaves around himself. But the Lord came, you understand, to cover him. That thing was a veil so that he will not prosper in that, you know, in that direction. So I just want you to open it up more, you know, along that line of thought. How that I know Reverend talked a whole lot about fig tree. I want you to really focus on that issue of fig tree, you know, for us. When Jesus came, Jesus also talked about it. You know, I want us to gain wisdom from it.
Sorry, okay. Good evening, everybody. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Okay, good evening, Daddy and Mommy, and in absentia, thank you for all you do for us, Eshego. And good evening, pastors. Good evening, Pastor GP in absentia. Good evening, Pastor Dayo. Good evening, Pastor Friday. Good evening, Pastor Shidi. And Sister Lillian, thank you very much. Okay, good evening, Pastor Nesimus. All right, Pastor, you've really caged me. I don't even know. You know, just box me up like, okay. Me, I'm able to think, just let me copy what she has said. And
I don't want you to go back to what she has said. I want you to, you know,
okay. Adam partook of eating the fruit. So That was the exact time man died. Because when Eve ate it, she was deceived. And according to what Reverend said, which also is painted all over the scripture, said in the days of ignorance, God winked at. So, when Eve did that, God did not rush down from heaven. God was still watching. And they were waiting. I believe they were waiting for the response of the man. And Reverend said something. If Adam had not eaten it, he would have purified his wife. Meaning that Adam had age to open what that seed has to give to man. So, so when he partook in that seed, Reverend said it that Adam really, really wants the seed, but he did not want what Satan has to give. Yes, but unknowing to him that the seed is the life of the devil. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So likewise, the incorruptible seed that they are giving us also is the life of God. Amen. So the life of every tree is in their seed. Amen. So you cannot take the seed and don't want to take the life. So when Adam ate it, heaven had to quickly respond. Because if the Lord God did not showed up to respond, what happened then would have wiped off, because God would have not been able to bear what man we turn into at that moment. Because when God came and shut their eyes, they came down to the lowest realm by covering themselves with fig leaves. And afterwards, we saw in the life of their children that they did not further use the life of the tree of good and evil to live by raising their children, Cain and Abel. Now, when I checked the life of Cain, fear, I was a little bit scared because I saw that they were in the year of acceptance, meaning they both have age to really come, and they have age to take the seed of God, because what they want to do is to accept them, to give them the incorruptible seed and begin to use it as life to journey with. But Cain has started transpiring or using another wisdom. He might have not started using it as life, but somewhere, he has started agreeing, taking, because the seed is also a name. And the seed has its ways, And the way of the seed is being, it's not opened fully when the Lord shut their life. So Cain started, I believe he opened himself up to tutelage of that seed. So by so doing, when they came to the year of acceptance, and he wanted the Lord, I think Reverend said it, that he wants God to bless that life that he's seen in the seed, and God to accept it. So because the Bible says God will not, amen. Okay, he said, He will not glory. Okay, help me with that scripture that says, will not glory another man. Another man will not. Yes. So, thank you, sir. That he will not share his glory with flesh. So, what Cain really. Cain wants glory of God. He wants that glory. Because I believe Adam would have tutored them what. And what the Lord would offer, what God is having for them. But the transaction he has with the seed, the things the seed has exposed to him in a way, he has loved it. He loved it and he accepted it. And he wants God to now put his own blessing on it so that he can move with it. And when the Lord rejected that, because the Bible says, help me with the scripture, that why had I wrote that with Cain, it wasn't the sacrifice he brought, it was first rejected. And the Lord said unto Cain, why had I wrought, And why is thy countenance fallen? Next verse. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Meaning that something is wrong with Cain. Or something was wrong with him. Not really first the sacrifice. Because the man that offered the sacrifice is higher than the sacrifice. So, the life that he agreed with, something was wrong with it. And God rejected him and he was wrought. By so he killed Abel. So he went away. Why I said I was scared is because when that means joining and becoming Christ, I should be more careful even attaining that life, Christ. Because it's not the life which cannot be tempted or which cannot be turned. I now saw that I don't know, I may be wrong, that really, really, the devil will always come for those that are Christ. I remember when I checked, because I was asking questions, why is it that Cain, when he fell, or when he went away from the presence of God, why was he called the son of perdition? Why did he just fell to that great extent that he died? And also that even someone that is journeying on everlasting life, if such person, because I believe in every cadre of life, the Lord has helped a man to acquire. There is termed as unpardonable sin. That if a man should commit it, the only reward is death. Now, we see it also, if mercy showed up for Moses, Moses was asked to touch the rock, and he went ahead and struck it. Now, the question is, water came out. God can look at it and forgive him, but it's beyond what they can forgive. Because he has a age that God believes that he has a way in him that should not do, that would have not allowed him to do that. So if children of Israel would have done that, any one of them would have still, because they don't have the understanding that can, because I believe in the realm of the spirit, there are laws that guide that realm. That when you utter that law, the consequence is also there. So, when we are looking at what Cain did, Cain opened his heart and started transacting with that life. With that, is not what God will now come and say. Because we see in Genesis, even before that, Cain accepted to live that life because he loved it. And we see, we saw our love. It's a love. Love is stronger than death. So meaning that even if God would say, okay, I want to come for Cain, Cain would rather die than letting go of that life. Because we saw what he went ahead and did after he left the presence of God. Now bringing it to our days. And also that it is very, very possible that a man has the life of Christ. And somewhere, maybe he's still looking, because I was now asking questions in my heart while I was listening to the message again, that why is it that they cannot forgive the Satan? Something that used to act drama in my mind. Why? Just, you know, all those movies we used to watch now. You know, just after all, the bad guy will now repent, turn to a good guy, and everything. The movie will end good, and everybody go home good, and everything end well. Why you can't just forgive Lucifer and make him a good guy? And that thought came to me that he cannot do Christ. Because Christ, when you genuinely do the life Christ, you will turn out to the other side to become a man that wants God. So what Cain did, Cain do not do Christ well. He did in his own way. And my question is that, why was God not watching why he was? Because when I say Christ, in their own other new, so in our own time, I know Christ is higher than what they did. The life that Cain did for him to be accepted, he didn't do it as Abel did. He wants another thing, and he was doing Christ. He was doing that life then. So, and also Judas, while he was with Jesus, he was journeying with Jesus everywhere Jesus went, everywhere, and Jesus was with him. It's fearful that God would do little or nothing to our life if we will not really, really let go of those things that we love. Because it is love Satan used to take us. Because the love of what Cain wants, that love, the way he loved that economy, because before he went away from the president and started opening and build a city and all, he has it painted in his mind. The whole thing has been well opened in his mind. The glory, everything, like what was painted to Jesus, has been painted to him. Just accept this thing and see what I will show you. Look at what you become. Look at this thing. And he loved those things. So when a man cannot turn away from those things that he loved, that he knew in his heart that God is not really, really, because I know Cain was tutored in the way of the Lord. He knew that God will not be happy with this thing. So when he came to the presence of God, he came. Check that scripture. It says, why are the countenance wrought? If he knew that, if he doesn't know that, this thing God will not accept, he should be like, God, why now? I don't know. He should be more sober, like, why, what did I do? But he was wrought. Why? Because, can you just bless me and let me go? What must I do it in your own way? Must I do it in your own way? Can I not be free of my, can't I also? He has accepted something else, and that thing has laid hold of him. It's that scripture that says, it says, what shall it profit a man if he gains his own world and loses his own soul? Meaning that Cain has possessed something in his soul. You know, they say a man in spirit have a soul and lives in the body. Meaning in the soul of Cain, Cain has held something so strong that he could even kill his brother just to accept that life. You know, why did Cain really, really kill his brother? The way I saw it, it's not because his brother was accepted in the first place. Because he saw his brother as a threat to the life he has. Pastor has taught us several times that if you are not really, really doing this thing well, you'll be angry with your brethren. And you will not, at a point, you will be departed. You will kill them too by departing from them. You know, by seeing them as, to want to but you go, what is it? Are they the only one? I beg, I don't want this thing again. So I pray the Lord will help us. That is when Pastor was talking about the Lord has given our heart is a place where we need to guide. Because we are not saved until we sit on the throne. Yes, at every point, Lucifer, we always come and check again. Can I still shake him? Hey. No, I now saw that we should be more careful as Father we are going into God. Because the ground is more slippery when we go up. Because it will get to a place where what is defined to you as sin in Christ will change when you move higher. For example, there are some things that are accepted while you are doing Christ. They are not sin. They don't expound it to you as sin. But when you get to another realm, they will not expound those things. And those things, they are not little. Because when God say anything is a sin, Reverend said anything, the enemy can use anything to make a man a bean of leak. He used example fornication that day. He said, when you check your heart and they see how much you love that thing, how much you have transacted to that thing, can make you a bean of leak. And also that we saw how the Lord wants to raise, God wants to raise men, sons of his person. But of his person, you know, when Pastor Tyler was speaking about Daddy on Sunday, that he used to imagine that he has a cherub in the world to come. Now, also that cherub in the world to come, and you know, they said they will give us a name that no other person will know, a name that is peculiar to you alone. And we know name is nature, which is the operation of what you will be. Like, for example, Lucifer, light bearer. There's no other angel that bears light except him. That is his name. That is his operation. Meaning that God wants to raise men of different operations to be in the world to come. Likewise, Lucifer wants to raise men of different operation. He wants to have a man of fornication as a nature in the world to come, in his own realm. Also have a man that can be, this one, his personification is lie. He just raised him as a temple of lie. Likewise, I want to raise another one as a corny bean in the other way. So like, he wants to raise different calibers of men. So it's not that they want to raise, if it's just lie, they can find you and you are doing it well. It's okay for them. praise you.
Hallelujah. You see, these things that he's saying, they are not far-fetched. You can be here and you are using another light to live. You can be here and then you are looking for another glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ichia paka pado venia brahadia kapa. Egesa para da baraka da balada. Lada, 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 lada. For you see, the adversary also has a ladder. The adversary also has a ladder. He has a ladder for you to cross into his world. He has a ladder for you to cross into his world. He has a ladder for you to cross into his home world. Into his own world. For he also has a world. He also has a world. Though he doesn't want to have that world. But he also has a world. Even though he does not love that world. He has a world. He also has a world that God has created for him. God has created a world for him. God has created a place for him. God has created a place for him. God has created a place for him. And as many that have his things, as many that have his things, as many that have his things can still have one way or the other to cross into that world. By his things in you, you can still cross. You can still cross. You can still cross into that world. Into that world. Into that world of damnation. Into that world of damnation. Into that world of damnation. But for the purpose, for the purpose whereby the works of the devil will be destroyed in you, so the Son of God came. He came for the works to be destroyed in you. He came for the works to be destroyed in you. He came for the works to be destroyed in you. For you see, the strength of the works of the devil in you is the connection that you have into that world. And as long as you do not let that work be broken down, let that work be dissolved, as long as you do not allow that work to be destroyed, as long as you do not allow that house to be dissolved, as long as you do not allow that house to be dissolved, you can still have your way into that satanic world, into that damnation world. I say cross, cross, cross. Cross the ladder, cross the walk, cross down the walk, cross down the walk, cross down that rope that is tying you into another destiny. Cross down that rope that is tying you into another destiny. Cross down that rope, that connection, that tie that you have within your soul, that tie that you have within your members, that tie that you have in your nature, that tie that you have that is connecting you to an evil world. Cross it down, cross it down, cross it down. Let it be broken down. Let it be broken down. Let it be broken down as you use the provisions that are available in our Lord Jesus. As you use those provisions that are available in our Lord Jesus, you can break down and be free, and be free, and be free from that thing that is in you, from that thing that is in you. Be it fornication, he has a potential to lead you to that world. Be it lie, he has a potential to lead you into that world. So cross it away. Cross it away. Cross it away. Cross it away. Remove the works. Remove the works as you yield to the provisions of the Son of God. Remove the works. Remove the works. For you shouldn't have such things even in this gathering, in the presence. These things, fornication, lies should not be staying in the presence. They shouldn't come to the presence. Masturbation should not come to the presence. Fornication should not come to the presence. They shouldn't come. They shouldn't come. They shouldn't come. They shouldn't come to the presence. They shouldn't come to the presence. For you, even when for that they are coming, shows the strength of the work that Satan did. For they can even still come, shows the strength of the work that Satan did in men. And I am saying that even in this season, come into your freedom. Come into your freedom. Where will deliver you? Where will deliver you? For if you do not allow the provision, if you do not allow the provision to do its work, oh, surely you can be. You can be one of them. One of them that will be in that abode. That will be in that abode that God does not want any man to be in. So I say, watch your heart. I say, watch what you give yourself to. Watch what you give yourselves to. Watch your heart. Watch what you attend. Watch your habits. Watch them. Watch them. Watch them and guard. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. And you will be safe. See the Lord.
Can we pray? I want us to pray. Can we pray? In the name of Jesus, can we lift up our voice and pray? Can we lift up our voice and pray? Many of us have alternatives to God. Many of us have alternatives. We know the things that work for us outside of God. We know the things we use outside of God. When it seems as if God is not coming through quickly, we know the things we use as shortcuts. We know the things we use as, shock absorber, before God answers. Can we pray? Those alternatives, those lifestyles, they are things that Satan will prey upon until we come to a point where we reject the ways of God. I want us to pray that the Lord will help our hearts, that the Lord will give us energy to be able to put away those things, those alternatives to the ways and the wisdom of God, those alternatives to the programs of God, those alternatives that Satan is bringing across our path, those temptations, those lies. Can we pray for strength to put them away? Oh, paria zemberia senzaya, embrekete sialabaria sanzaya. Every glory that Satan is waving at us, that is already luring us away. Can we pray for our lost? Paria sanzelia, paria sanzaya. Everything that is still, a loss to us. Everything that is still a glory to us. Everything that can still woe us. Can we pray, paria semberia, that the Lord will grant us strength and age to say no. Age to say no, age to say no, age to say no. He said the grace that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness, and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, looking for the blessed appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we pray? We receive grace to say no. We receive grace to say no. We receive grace to those thoughts that are already festering in our hearts. Those thoughts that is already gaining momentum. Those thoughts that is already gaining grounds. Those thoughts that is already suggesting alternatives. Can we pray tonight? We receive mercy, Lord. We receive deliverance this evening in the name of Jesus. We will wait for you. We will wait for you. We'll wait for your promise. 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 We'll choose your way. We'll choose your way. We'll choose your path. We'll choose your wisdom. Parian Celia Baria Sanzaya, Elegant Delebrega Delicatessia, La Baria Sanzaya, and Shobrega Delicatessia. I will not choose gold over you, Lord Jesus. I will not choose silver over you. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. Jesus, 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 you remain the love of our life. You remain our focus. You remain that which we pursue. In the name of Jesus, you would help us, Lord Jesus. You would help us, Lord Jesus, that our lots will not be taken, that our lots will not be taken, but you would help us to jealously guide our lots until we come into our inheritance. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We give you praise, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Animal,
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Ferranis to Varala Caponosh, the Capali, the Sefeneta Sile, Capalana Mashtafana Tasterale. Thank you, Jesus. Kalia Sapacanomene, Clecra Prosh, the Camo Venenia, the Camo Pesanania, the Cram Proclanimene Shishke Proclamononia, Caniminia Capalo Ferracatani, the Pacrosh, the Gane, a Jubilenica Caproni Meneca Clapronia. Eka frash de caproni fetane clanishteca, posonia libanata. Camofranish de capalome and de cacciciberane, monia craprostavonia. Cross even to the other side. Cross a pania to the other side. Cross capanishi cafanclana testavono mania to the other side. Cross from the flesh to the spirit. Cross to the spirit. Cross into the spirit. Cross from the flesh into the spirit. Kamono fetomine klepronen de chichaponia le kapalania. Do not get used to palania steponia to the life in the flesh. Kapoperanania se kapatania. Do not defend the life in the flesh. Cross into the spirit. Kaponine mandesi seporonavenia la kapanine malashtekania. O apostavoni, cross into the Spirit, even by the light of Christ. Cross into the Spirit. Poromini antapostavoronia, cross by the light of Christ. Cross by the light of Christ. Opanani stephonia, cross by the light of Christ. Exercise yourself with the light of Christ. Exercise yourself with the light of Christ. Exercise manahan de kaparia with the light of Christ. Kapo fersaninia. Engage the light of Christ. Engage the light of Christ. Always use the light of Christ. Use the light to walk. Use that light to walk. Use that light to walk. Use that light to walk. So you can cross. No, you cross. You can only cross from the realm of the flesh into the realm of the spiritual by the light of Christ. Cross by that light. Take that light. Believe in that light. Do not argue with the light. Do not argue with that light. Cross with that light. Cross with that light. Don't argue with the light. Cross with that light. Amosa venine ma crush the camonia. A pastor vononia. My light always come to you, but you argue it away. Use it to cross. Use it to cross. That's the only way you can cross from the flesh into the spirit. Cross because the flesh is not safe. Cross because the flesh is not safe. Cross because the flesh is not saved. Satan will come and harvest you if you remain in the flesh. He will harvest you. He will harvest you into his band. You harvest you into his band. So cross into the spirit by the light of Christ. Use the light of Christ. Every of your decision, use the light of Christ. Every of your opinion, let it be the light of Christ. Always use the light of Christ. Use that light. Because that's the only way you can cross into the Spirit. See you, the Lord.
Thank you so much. Amen. I want to quickly welcome Sister Doyin and Bro Raf as they come forward. I want to say this. While the tongues was going on, you know, I perceived this in my heart. And it's a strong warning. I perceive there's one or two persons here who probably you are offended in God. You understand? You're already offended in God, or more so, you're offended in the servant of God, the leadership of the house. Probably they are not allowing you have your way, or you feel they are too slow for you. You understand? You're already angry. You're already getting offended, and you're already drawing back. The Lord is saying, this is an opportunity. This is a warning as well as an opportunity for you to retrace your step back. You understand? Because if you persist, the Lord will have you have your way, but he will send leanness to your soul. He will send leanness to your soul. You would, you know, the way you will fall,
you know, you yourself, you can't imagine it, that can this happen to me? You understand? Because what Satan has already planned for you, you know, is something that, you know, when ears will hear it, will tingle. It's something of disaster. So the Lord is bringing a strong warning to whosoever that person is. You're already offended. You understand? It's just that it has not, you know, come out fully. It has not gained full manifestation, but it's already there. You know it. And the Lord is saying, repent. If you need to go and apologize, if you need to go and confess, if you need, you know, but the Lord is asking for a repentant heart, that you adjust your heart and then you go back to your first love and your first work and pick it up, and the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we put hands together for, you know, Brodari and Stabola? Thank you so much. Mama Doing, you're welcome. Bro Raf, you're welcome. So you're going to take us further. Don't take us back. Push us further. You know, okay, before, I'll just say a few things and then I'll give you the mic, you know, as the Spirit leads. Reverend talked about figs, then he moved to, you know, Hebrews. Hebrews 5, when he began to talk about the issue of age, you understand, and then he diverted to the issue of justification, you understand, and then moved to charity. I don't know who's starting for us. Okay, she should start. Okay, you understand. All right. I just said that, but I want you to feel free. You understand? Let the Lord lead you and let the Holy Spirit move through you. You understand? I want you to, you know, because it's possible there are people here who probably they are suffering from condemnation because they do not understand what justification is. I remember Reverend, you know, hammered on that. But I want to give you the mic. You can feel free. Just flow, you know, as the Spirit leads.
Good evening, church. I want to say good evening to Daddy and Mommy. Thank you for your labor over us. Thank you. I know you're with us in the spirit. Thank you very much for all you do for us. Thank you, Pastor Friday. Thank you, Pastor CG. Thank you, Pastor Dio, for all you do for us as well. Thank you, Pastor Nesimos. I know I can't thank you enough. Thank you, Pastor. And good evening to all my brethren. So, just like you've said, going further from where our brother stopped, you know, while I was going through the message, I just want to first of all start from where the Reverend was talking about how Satan corrupted what God gave to him. You know, Satan corrupted the what God used to beautify him, and then he sold it as a life to the angels, first of all, and then he sold it also to man. You know, and Reverend was saying that man, Adam wanted to be smart. You know, he wanted to take the life. You know, he just wanted to be smart. You know, but that life only answers to Satan. It only answers to Satan. And because I remember Reverend saying this, he said that life, that corruptible life, is Satan's ring. You know, and my mind immediately went to, you know, there was this movie I was sharing with my brethren, you know, the Lord of the Rings, you know, where Sauron, the big bad, where he, because if you look at the story, for those who may not have seen the movie, you know, the concept was that, you know, he came into the realm, he was from another realm, he came into the realm of earth. You know, there were elves, there were dwarves, there were men. You know, he came with a wisdom. He built rings. He gave the elves 3 rings. He gave the dwarves 7 rings. He gave the realm of men, there were 9 kings, and he gave them 9 rings. You know, but the story goes that he went secretly to Mount Doom, and then he created one ring, the master ring, one ring to rule them all. And then, you know, he was using that ring to control all of them. But you know, going further, he, in that story, you know, just to cut it short, the elves, the men, and the dwarves were able to come together. They were able to defeat him. They cut off his hand, and then they took the ring. You know, they were supposed to go back and destroy that ring in that mountain. But, you know, the person, the man that got that ring, when he went there, you know, the story said that it says the heart of man was easily corrupted, because that ring Because when they killed him, he vanished. But his life was in that ring. You know, so the man thought that he could use that ring, you know, to continue living. And that's the linking it back to the story of Adam. That was the plan Adam had. You know, you could use that life. But that life only answers to him. And at the end of the day, he was able to be reincarnated because of that ring, you know, that they kept. They didn't destroy it completely. They were supposed to, you know, just like that king that, you know, when you strike the ground, you're supposed to strike it completely and completely destroy, you know, Satan. You know, so, you know, going, and Reverend was trying to connect it to, you know, the because after they fell, you know, the wisdom came for them to sow fig leaves. You know, and he was connecting it to Jesus, because in the story, that tree was also speaking to Jesus. You know, it was speaking to him. It was telling him that, you know, you cannot do ministry without me. You know, he was trying to give him a sight. You know, that you can, and that is what, you know, even Lucifer or Satan keeps speaking to us. He's always trying to give us an alternative to God. He's always trying to give us an alternative to God. You know, so there was something the Reverend said. He said that the message in that story, there are two. You know, one is the faith to curse, you know, the tree, but also the faith to refuse, you know, to refuse that life. It's a faith to refuse. You know, we should not use alternative means to achieve, you know, God's result. You know, what we call success is actually righteousness. Good success is actually, you know, righteousness. You know, and then going further, Reverend began to talk about Hebrews. We went to Hebrews 5 verse 14. I don't know if you can, you know, take me there. Hebrews 5 14. You know, but strong meat, you know, belong to them who are of full age. You know, even those who by reason of use, you know, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. You know, and Reverend was saying that, you know, senses are instruments of the soul. And it is through senses that your age is discerned. You know, some people think they are wise, but they have no age. You know, if it takes your age is discerned by your use. Your age is how you use, you know, your senses is what determines your age. You know, he says only if you're someone who, you know, all you embrace is milk, is just milk, you know, it shows your age. It shows your age. You know, if you're someone who embraces, you know, the word of righteousness, it also shows your age. And then Reverend began to go further, you know, talking about doing of the word. Because what really justifies, you know, many people, they hear the word, but they don't do the word. You know, they don't use, you're not using the message you are hearing. You're only just hearing. You know, another thing that stuck with me in that message of the fig tree is that, you know, the fig tree only had leaves. It didn't have fruits. And that leaf can signify knowledge. You know, Satan can want us to just be comfortable with knowledge. You know, and, you know, the fruit, because it's how you walk with the knowledge that makes you bear fruit. You know, and you can just be enjoying the message. You know, you love the knowledge. You can say it. You love it. You can quote it. You know, but that fruit is not there. You know, and then you can just be stuck there, and, you know, you're not bearing fruit. You know, so God doesn't just want us to just be hearers only. He wants us to be doers. You know, because it is in doing that you are justified. It is in doing that you are justified. You know, so Reverend went further to say how for a very long time he was condemned. You know, he was feeling condemned because it looks as if, you know, he was trying to do the word. He had been on the message of doing the word for a long time. But it seems as if in the natural he was not seeing results. And many preachers of faith in that time had made it look as if you do not have results, then you're not doing the word. I know many times we have learned to validate results as the only proof, you know, of doing the word. So if you're not getting blessed in natural, then you are constantly being condemned, you know, that you're not doing the word, you're not doing the word. You know, but he said that one thing, you know, that attitude of doing the word, obeying the word of righteousness, was what brought you know, people like Pastor Emeka. You know, like Pastor, you mentioned Pastor Charles, they brought him closer. You know, and what I saw in that is that we should not take for granted, you know, what our obedience is doing. You know, a lot of people are going to come into, you know, this life because of our own obedience. You know, so we should not take instructions, you know, the Lord gives us for granted. We shouldn't take it for granted. You know, so Reverend kept on, you know, he went further talking about faith. You know, he said God didn't allow him, you know, to be built in that order of faith that moves mountains, you know, but he was built in the faith that leads to life, the faith that gives life. You know, it's when it shows how you use your faith shows, you know, the age that you are. You know, he said something like that milk faith, you know, is not just for receiving and asking and receiving alone. You know, it is for living. Even though, you know, it is good that we have the faith that moves mountains, you know, according to, you know, Mark 11, you know, and he mentioned that even our father, you know, Kenneth E. Hagin, taught this, you know, faith that moves mountains. But he shared that it was just like this, it was just a strand, you know, out of, you know, a bundle of what faith entails. You know, just that faith that moves mountains, just a strand. The faith for living, you know, is even more important. We should have the faith because we should not take it for granted. You know, the faith that moves mountains, the faith that commands results, the faith that brings, you know, the good things that God wants for us. However, you know, we should also have a faith, you know, that makes us, that gives us life. You know, and after that is after that faith, you know, is charity. The Reverend began to go further talking about, you know, I don't know if you can take me to 1 Corinthians, you know, 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Reverend was talking about how, okay, and now abided faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of this is charity. No, not verse 13, no, for verse 1. From verse 1. So, do I speak, you know, with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Okay. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. So you see here again, you know, the faith that removes mountains. So even if you have the faith that can remove mountains, but yet you do not have charity, you say you are nothing. You know, and Reverend was saying that, you know, nothing is not an insult. You know, it just shows your state. It's just showing your state that before God, you know, God is not seeing something. If you are not yet having charity, even though you have the faith that can move mountains, but you're not yet having charity, you know, you are nothing yet. You need charity to be something. You know, and Reverend began to go further into, if you go to verse 11 of this same 1 Corinthians 13, you know, talking about a child. You know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. You know, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, I put away childish things. So it will be, becoming a man is putting away childish things. You know, charity is a man. You know, charity is a man. And when you become a man, you start putting away childish things. And Reverend was saying this. He said, it's not that childish things are not evil things, you know, but they are just childish things. Before God, they are childish things. They are things that we should now begin to put away. They are things we should begin to put away. You know, there are some things that, you know, if you are even in the natural, when you meet someone, you can tell someone, Raphael, this thing you are doing, you know, you should not be doing this again at this age, you get, because you're no more a child. You know, even so also it is in the spirit. It is a technology, you know, that God uses to develop the soul, you know, to make men grow from becoming a child to becoming a man. You know, because it takes a man to be able to bear, you know, certain things of God. It takes a man to be able to bear the things that, like strong meat or charity, it takes a man to be able to bear them. You know, Reverend talked about also the stages of a man, you know, even in this order, that first of all, you have a man of faith, you know, a man, and that faith is a man that is the faith that escorts you from being a soul, from being a child, you know, to becoming a man. And then you have hope, and which is the hope that makes you to begin to see, not to be able to hope for things, not normal men hope for. Your eyes becomes enlightened. You begin to hope for things that, you know, not just ordinary men hope for. And then lastly, you come to a place of peace, you know, peace with God. And it's when you get to that place, you know, as Reverend put it, that you are able to bear meat, strong meat. That's when you're able to bear, you know, strong meat. And that strong meat is for you not just to be able to discern good and evil, but it's for you to be able to reject it, to reject the evil and then choose the good. It is for choice. You know, I would want to, you know, end with this. I don't know if you can take me to Hebrews 11 as well. Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 25. You know, just talking about this faith, you know, understanding really what faith really is. You know, talking about it not being just about asking and receiving, but it's about refusing or choosing something. It says, and this scripture stuck with me. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was become of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, because if we don't see this as faith, you know, we will still be condemned. Because when we go out there and then people ask us for results, you know, and then we can't show something physically, it will look as if our faith is not there. We don't have faith, you know. But this is real what faith is. This is real faith, that you can be able to choose suffering. You know, instead of accepting the pleasures of sin for a season, you are able to reject it. That is real. That is what faith is. That is faith. You know. So the Reverend was talking about this man, you know, that has grown, is a man that can now meet with the high priest. You know, he was quoting Hebrews 5 verse 1. You know, where Hebrews 5 verse 1. I don't know if you can take me there. You know, for every high priest is taken from among men. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. You know, Reverend was saying that this gift is incorruptible seed. You know, and the sacrifice is the blood. You know, and he said that, can you choose, you know, the bread and wine of Melchizedek over the gold of Sodom? Can you choose that? You know, can you choose that? So for me, you know, just take home for me how the message has blessed me is how, you know, I can be able to relate with faith, you know, with this dimension, with these eyes. Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah. So blessed. You know, I think this is bringing definition to a whole lot of people. You understand what faith really is. You know, and what the Lord is demanding and expecting from every one of us. You know, of course, the patient one will eat the sweetest bone. I like the way Sister Ezekiel puts it. If you know, you know. Amen. Pastor is laughing. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, looking at Reverend's message, there's something, you know, at the tail end. You know, and the Lord has given us the privilege of having, you know, Sister Doing to help us. you know, it's biscuit. You know, just help us pieces that biscuit. You know, the issue of servant, prophet, bishop, you know. Too sweet, right? Too sweet. Mama, you just help us so that we'll come into one. I know some of us have been having issues around that. Which one is bishop? Which one is shepherd? You know? We want you to help us, you know, pieces that biscuit for us. You know, you are laughing. By the time Mama finish, I'm going to call you. So the floor is yours. And feel free, whatever you feel we have not touched, you know, areas you feel we have not touched and things that are still in your spirit, feel free. Bless us, eh? We want to be blessed by you, ma. Ashima, God bless you, ma. Come put hands together for her. Thank you so much, ma.
Hallelujah. Okay. Mommy, thank you, ma. Daddy, thank you. essential. Thank you for the teachings. Thank you. Okay. I want to say thank you to Dangerous Pastor Shiji, as Pastor Tokpe said it. Thank you, Pastor Dayo. Thank you so much. Well, one of the commandments that was given when Pastor Nisimo stopped, he said, I should not thank anybody. So I'm permitted to still thank people. So thank you, sir. Okay, Pastor Dayo, thank you so much. Last week's review, all the review so far, I've been blessed. I just had to go back to the messages again and again. So I want to thank Pastor Dayo. Thank you, Pastor Nismos. I'm not Mama Dunyo. Thank you so much. Okay. My husband, thank you. Thank you for being there when my question comes around again. And thank you for enduring me all the time. One day I will become. Amen. In Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. So, okay. My brethren, I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the reviewers. Thank you for people that are actually very close to me and they know my flaws and my weaknesses. Thank you for enduring me. Thank you for those that see me from afar and really do not know me. But I trust God I'm changing and I trust God to change more and more. Okay. They have said many things. So, and Pastor Dan said I should take the last part. I was telling Stasha that the way Pastor has partitioned this thing this evening, hope is not the last part that will get to be like this. She said I should be trusting the Lord. And I was trusting God. I said, when I saw Pastor Nisima, I said, thank God, though, because if it's Pastor Dayo, Pastor Dayo will be telling you where you should talk about. I did not know that Pastor Nisima is even higher than Pastor Dayo. Okay? Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, probably. Bro, Raphael, thank you very much. You touched, I don't know now. I touched everything. And then I said, Bishop Pat. That Bishop Pat, I left it for pastors. Ah! Oh, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. Okay. All right. Thank God for Pastor Tope. Thank God. Because actually listening again and listening to Reverend alone, just like ignore that part and just go straight to Reverend, was not a very good way for me. So I needed to just go back to Pastor Tope, which was a very good link to bring me into that thought or that proceed further in the thoughts that Reverend was sharing. I'll start from the part when Pastor Tope was explaining what flesh is, and then when Reverend would have to talk and then led us into that part of what flesh is. Because the story of the fall, the story in the garden, it's actually a serious one. And before now, I used to think that, why is it that they would say that Eve did not, was not the one that sinned? Why is it that it was Adam? But, you know, with that teaching, I was able to understand that because Adam was of age. That is why he understood what he was doing. Reverend would say, he said that Eve is not of age. So we'll say that if, like Stabola was explaining that part, so if did not, you know, just did a thing and you really did not understand what you did, you did not know the effect of what you have done. So because you don't know the effect, it does not, it's not really carrying weight, though you have done something wrong. But, thank God for the epistle, which was able to show us in a better light, and thank God for Reverend, which was able to make it clearer for us to see. And that alternative way that Adam looked at to make him eat the fruit in the garden. You know, when Pastor Tope was talking about, he said that fruit comprises of many stages in it. So, but the first thing there is flesh. So, all those different stages. And when Reverend was going to come to talk about it, he said that what that fruit did for them was to take them lower than the tree. So that's why they could not even use the leaves of the tree to sow for the fig, to sow for themselves. Instead, it took them lower to now go for fig leaves. I said, devil is really, really a bad devil. His desire is that every man come to lake. No, some men, like the way it was put, some men come to lake. He knows that everyone will not come, but he just want to pick some. And he knows that lake, you know, when Reverend was talking about lake, he mentioned that it has been created, but it's not seen. But when the time comes, they will call it forth. And they called Brother Okpe to explain that chemistry of sulfur for us. And that salt thing. That, so that we shouldn't see that salt as what I use to sweeten my soup at home or my food. It's because there are different salts, different salts. So there are some that will ignite fire. Thank you, sir. Acidic salt. So then you now use that to talk about the pillar of salt that Lot's wife became. Coming to church, that particular verse kept coming to me, remember Lot's wife. As in, that was just what was ringing in my ears coming this evening. And the sulfur thing. So, yes, Luke 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. And Reverend said that when they get to that particular place that is called Sodom, nothing exists there. Nothing can survive because of what has happened. And when Pastor Tope was going to end his own exhortation, he led us to Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. He talked about verse 3, then he talked about verse 12. He talked about what man had become. And because man had become flesh, yes, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So they cut down his days because he had become flesh, and the spirit of the Lord shall not strive with flesh. Then he said that naturally we would say that the spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. But the spirit of God is not just the Holy Spirit. It is the spirit that weaves the everlasting laws. And I try to just imagine that means there's actually a spirit, maybe can be the spirit of God. But that spirit is just, that spirit, I think, was it Pastor Thompson or Pastor, I think it was Pastor Thompson. Pastor Thompson, one of last year Image and Glory Conference, was saying that there's the spirit that works in our assembly. It picks you out. This spirit searches your heart. So this spirit knows that this one is doing commandment. This one is not doing commandment. So that's why even if you force yourself to be friends with people that are really not doing commandment and you have a wrong heart, or probably people that are doing commandment, sorry, and you have a wrong heart, the spirit would have been correcting you. When he finds out that you are not hearing, acting to the correction, he would withdraw you from that company of those that are doing commandment, so that you would not become a spot in that feast. And at the end of the whole day, so that's why we would be able to know that, how do we say that? The way the spirit gets to select us, we don't know when they are looking at us. We don't know, you know, we are all gathered in the evening, gathered on Sunday, and like that. But we all do different work. Some people, even if they're in the same workplace, they're probably same office, everybody just doing that, different locations and things like that. Yes, Pastor Tayo Fason on this Easter special retreat was saying that the Lord has raised a standard in our appearance for us. So anytime we want to default, this standard will rise for us. Sometimes it will be in their words, sometimes it will be in their pictures, sometimes something will rise to remind us that you cannot do less. So anytime you do less, you know you have transgressed already. So, and you cannot come and cover it, because even if you cover it to yourself, you can't cover it to yourself, sure, but if you cover it to brethren, you cannot cover it to God. So the best thing is to just go back to the Lord. And each of all these things is going to be drawing, at every point in time that we are not acting as we ought to, it's going to be drawing us back. I think it was probably Mommy Ellen that was talking one time, I don't know, her daddy was saying that when we continue in our journey and you want to use like 10 years in the old journey, only God knows the number of years for each person, and you use like 10 to 15 years to always come back, move 2 steps, draw back 5, move another 2, draw back 5. When on earth will you get there? When on earth will you gain eternal life? When on earth will you even become what God wants you to become? Because the desire of the Lord is not just for us to just gather us like this alone and keep feeding us. The purpose is so that we can ward down the devil. That's like a major thing. And in warring down the devil, there are people that they'll bring around us, because it is not just vertical, it is also horizontal. So you cannot just be thinking that it is you and God and like that. You also have the horizontal relationship. So if in the horizontal relationship I'm defaulting, then I don't actually have a correct vertical relationship, because the horizontal, and you know, when they were talking about in the book of Revelation, talking about that cubit, it's actually a cube, because the length, the breadth, the width, they are all equal to themselves. So you cannot, I cannot be short in horizontal and think my height is long, my depth is long. Irony, it cannot work. Then, so my horizontal must be perpendicular, or must be at par with the height, that is the vertical relationship with God, and also must also be taking root downward, such as to bear fruit. So you know, looking at those areas too, I just saw that Lord, none of this should be wanting in any of this. So then the man of charity, yes. This man of charity, I remember Reverend said, it's not just love of the brethren. So love of the brethren, yes, love of God. And I remember that at a time, I think maybe it was that I was saying that you cannot love the brethren. Okay, this UK meeting that they posted the message that Mom said we should listen to. Sorry. Brother Abila said we should listen to that Mommy preached. Our relationship with our fellow, it has a great key in our movement with God. So if that relationship is faltered, we cannot move. Now, looking at Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel was already raised as a standard in righteousness. And that standard, even if Abel was not saying anything to Cain at a time again, Cain will always be judged by what Abel was doing, because Cain was doing wrongly. And due to that, the things in his soul, like Reverend said, we have senses in our soul. So all the senses inside of him will not allow him to be comfortable around Abel. So as soon, he would even know that God will accept the sacrifice of Abel and reject his own because of what he too has fellowshipped with in that other side. You know, okay, I don't want to go there yet. What he too has fellowshipped with in the other side. And as a result of that, that can make him to have even planned ahead of that time, that he will go and whatever happened, if this is it, this will be what he will do at the end of the day. Because of that fellowship. You know, Pastor Dokwe was talking about that flesh. He said it can be positive, it can be negative. So as you're growing in the... I think Obadiah that mentioned it. So you're going in the negative side. Anyone that is picking the negative side, growing in the negative side, just know that you have a vice versa that is growing in the positive side. if I'm allowing a fruit in me and I keep tending it, you know, that garden is my heart. So there's just this junction at the point of my heart, and I keep dressing, I keep tending, and it's a weed that I keep tending. Automatically, that weed will choke the original. Yes, Jesus gave that parable. That weed will outgrow, because weed does not even need plenty things. So, but you are now giving it extra attention. It will automatically outgrow the original. And when it outgrow the original, there will be nothing to show for it. Because on the day of harvest, you have weed to produce. While those that have cut, dressed their garden well, tend the garden well, cut down weed at every point in time it is raising its head, will have fruits to show for it. So that brings me to say that the place of dressing our garden really, really matters. I should not give room. And this one that I'm saying now, I'm really saying this to myself. I've even been saying everything to myself, but this one specifically. I should not allow spirits to just culture anything around my heavens. When they just bring thoughts, this one, this, that one, that. I should not allow it to stay. In the process of allowing it to stay and considering it, I am giving room for the enemy. That is because the place of dressing that weed is to allow it to just stay and reason it. My husband would say that the time you are using to think these thoughts now, if you use it to meditate on the word, you would have done well in the spirit. I say, oh God, okay. But seriously, that is the truth. That time that I used to sit down and consider the person said this, and then I started analyzing what was said. If I'd use it to check the scriptures or probably remember the thoughts of a message that was said, and I use it to now analyze it and understand it better, it would have brought forth better fruit in me. I will not struggle to remember when I need to take the action. Because I have turned it, then it has become a life. You know, I have turned it, then because of that, it's ringing in my head. And as a result of doing that commandment, or probably following that instruction, it will become a life. Like Pastor Thomas was leading us on Tuesday, that when we have followed commandments enough at a time, it will just become our life. So they don't even need to give us as commandments again. We just find out that we're actually doing it. So we don't, you know, so sometimes just look at, like now, to give an example, okay. Reverend made mention of this man that came from US, overseas. They want him to marry somebody in their village. And thank you, sir. Ngozi. And you know, that story just, well, of course, the story was very sweet. But the way they were passing the spirit at the time they were even saying their suggestion, the man does not have any objection. Why would he not have objection? Because even somewhere in his heart, he wants something like that. It just sounded like Adam. Adam did not want to go straight to the fruit, to the tree to eat. So he just saw suggestion from Eve. So that man from US did not want to go straight to go and get Ngozi, but he saw suggestion from elders of the village, you know. And as a result of that, they were able to pass the message across, which met with what was in his heart to do. So the place, so please, I just want to say this part of it. When Reverend talked about explaining the good success, using the example of Isaac and Ishmael and like that, that the wife can become a weak link. For me, that was what came to me anyway. A wife can become a weak link for the husband. Such because Sarah, Abraham was weak at that time. Then suggestion came to Sarah, and Sarah used her own power to suggest another woman for the husband. But because of the situation in which the man was, he couldn't fight that suggestion. And as a result of that, he gave in to the suggestion that the wife brought. So as a wife, I should not become a weak link. Then also it happened to Eve too. at least they would have been mentioning it, that the Lord said we should not eat from this fruit, because the devil asked, did the Lord said? So she knew that the Lord said. So she wasn't totally ignorant in that aspect. So I shouldn't become a weak link, because there would always still be, since we have not yet come into, all of us have not come into fullness yet. So there will be a point of not too strong at a time, this at another time. So as a wife, as a brethren to my fellow brethren, I should not become a weak link for my fellow person, such that the enemy can use probably my suggestion or my words to make the person stumble.
Amen. Confidence together for Stadoi. Thank you so much. Amen. She has chosen to act in charity towards us and want us from the congregation to partake of this review. If she has said certain things, you know, we'll just close and go, but she has reserved something for you. So I'm going to serve that meal to everybody. Thank you. You can go to your seat. Star Joan, please come. Come and take the mic. Oh yeah, come. Star Joan. I'm waiting. I just have a few minutes. Star Joan. Hurry up. Come and explain to us the three shepherdic, you know, ministry that Jesus or Reverend said we would have to go through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, he talked about the priests, then the prophets. Those are the first, those are the two I can recall right now, sir. And the bishop. There's a bishop. And, okay, so there's the rod and the staff. They are for leading. The shepherd also leads. The shepherd leads, and the bishop brings pasture.
Amen. Come put hands together for her. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, can we bring out our books? Let's just write one or two things. Hebrews 5:1. You can draw a table. I'm not trying to explain. I just want us to, for the case of precept, let's just have it, so that when Daddy comes, as he begins to explain those things, we would have understanding of what Daddy is saying. Is that okay? So he said, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that they may offer both gifts and sacrifice. And Reverend said that gift is what? Incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. Why the sacrifice are what? Is the blood. And he said that inside that sacrifice or inside the blood are altars where covenant has to what? Be made. So he said when sin has been covenanted with, that is the end of sin. That is the perfection of sin. So he now began to explain. So in the book of Peter, when he was saying that all we have gone astray, but we have returned to the bishop and the shepherd of our soul. So you can put bishop on this one, on this side, and then put shepherd on the other side. Let's quickly do that. I just have a few minutes. Bishop on this side, shepherd on the other side. All right. Then, so he was explaining that this bishop is the builder of the body, or is the builder of the house. So you can put that the bishop, you know, is the builder of the house. Actually said the bishop, you know, then the shepherd is what? Is the one that leads, you know, the house. You know, is one that leads the house from pasture to pasture. So what the bishop uses is the rod for building. What the shepherd uses is the staff for measurement. Hallelujah. Are we together? Have we written that? Okay, then he also referred to the bishop as servants. You know, so he said bishop and priest. Then he referred to the bishop as servants. Why the shepherds as prophets? So you can put servants under bishop. You can put prophets under, you know, shepherds. So, of course, when you hear prophets, one of the things that comes to mind is prophecy. because prophecy is the life of the building or the testament for the building. You know why? What do you call it, bishop? You know, which uses the rod, is the word. So there's obedience of the word for growth. Acts 20, verse 32. You know, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So you can put that there, which you also see in 1 Peter, that's, which is our core anchor. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, when I'm saying that since you have purified yourself through the sprinkling, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. So that obedience is obedience of the word, you know. And then sprinkling, which is the sprinkling of the blood. Hallelujah. Pastor, is there what I feel I'm still missing something? One more thing. Huh? Yeah, both of them are priests. Any other thing I'm missing? Yeah, thank you. Apostle is also what? The bishop, which is the builder. So apostle and priest, then so just put it there. Apostle and the high priest, then yeah, apostle on that bishop, then high priest on that shepherd. Thank you very much. High priest on that shepherd. All right, so Reverend Ann said that we have three shepherds that we must go through, you understand? And the first, which is the head of the church, which is the chief shepherd, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second shepherd is the Holy Ghost, you understand? And the third shepherd is, you know, the shepherd of the house, which is daddy and mommy. So we must obey these shepherds if we would ever come into fullness of what the Lord wants for us. So we can say the building is the vision. You understand why the other one is the prophecy. So you see vision and what? And prophecy. So there is... Okay. You can go and listen again. I just have a few minutes. Okay. Okay. We talk about Jesus as a chief shepherd. Then the Holy Ghost as the other shepherd. And then, you know, daddy and mommy as... You know, the third shepherd, which we must go through, you know, their shepherdic ministries. So you can't say, you know, you are submitting to Jesus and you can't submit to, you know, daddy and mommy. You can't come into the fullness of, you know, what Jesus have. In fact, they won't give you entrance. Are we together? So through daddy, through the Holy Ghost, and then our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the house come into fullness of what it, you know, the Lord desires. So that building is also a life. That building is a life. So there is a life of that building. You understand? That we come into by reason of obedience. And there is also a life in the testament. You understand? So that life is a house of the other life. Do we understand? So you need life to house life. So that building is also a life, which is the seed, the incorruptible seed. Then we now house the incorruptible life. Do we understand? So they first give you the seed, which is the corn. For what? Thank you. So he also talked about that under bishop, bread. They are the givers of bread. You know why the shepherds are the givers of wine. And that's what he was talking about, bread and wine. Which you also see in that Hebrews 5, you know, sacrifice, you know, gifts and sacrifice. Is that okay? So, I think, I believe when daddy comes, or maybe Pastor Friday and Pastor CG, they would, you know, they are taller trees than I am. So they will do justice to these things. I just gave us letters. They will come and give us the precepts and then, you know, the lines of these things. Can we bless the Lord this evening? Have we been blessed? Can we bless the Lord this evening? Can we appreciate the Lord? Can we just thank him? Can we thank him? I believe the Lord has added something to us. You know, this evening, can we thank the Lord for that which the Lord has done?
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.